I'm very excited about what we're going to talk about tonight. It's not what I planned on even 4 days ago, but I stayed up as usual 3 or 4 days beforehand and killed my crew dictating some things. And it was really stimulated by reading a book about a subject that, frankly, I've talked about and lectured on for many, many years. And that is the concept of a tipping point. Most of you know that I've talked about for many years different metaphors. I talk about that 2 millimeter difference. Very often the metaphor I give is, you know, you got a vanilla ice cream and you're pouring chocolate in it and it's white, 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 and all of a sudden the whole thing turns brown. There's a split second when sudden change, dramatic change happens. When a country suddenly becomes communism, where a business that was lagging suddenly goes down or suddenly shoots up. Where a business that was going just fine, all of a sudden overnight, you go, what happened? It disappears. You can tip up or you can tip down. The 2 millimeter metaphor, most of you recall, is that metaphor that I talk about my friend who's the greatest facial surgeon in the world. And where he goes in and he has these little 11 adjustments he makes to any woman's face, or 9 to a man's face. And I watched him take a woman who's 84 years old, make her look like she's 40, 45, and drop dead gorgeous. I mean, they spent $1 million. The Sultan of Brunei paid him $1 million to fly over and do 2 family members' faces. Because, and the biggest changes he make are 2 millimeters. 2 millimeter shifts in certain locations of the face, complete transformation overnight from vanilla to chocolate, so to speak. So I've always been fascinated and driven by what I would tend to call the difference that makes the difference. You know, what is it that suddenly shifts it all? And most of you joined Platinum because you wanted to increase the quality of your life. You may have had different words for that. I was rereading, even though you've been with me for a while, some of you have been Platinum for 2 or 3 years, and I was reading everybody's forms in preparation for this trip again to kind of get reassociated to your at least initial objectives while you verbalized, at least in writing, while you're coming here. And some of you, as you reconnected back with a group, why you were doing that as well. And it all comes down to increasing the quality of your life. And many of you already have extraordinary lives. And what really determines your quality of life is usually a small little set of factors. And, you know, one of those factors most of us know, because I talk about all the time, is your inner environment, inner E, I would call it, which is really the experience of your emotions. Because no matter how much money you have, most people in this room have done quite well, even those who've, maybe it's more of a stretch to be Platinum, and for others it's a piece of cake, it doesn't affect you financially at all. Still, to be in this group and to be able to travel with this group, you have to be doing better than 99.99999% of the planet. What your worst challenge and stress is to be part of Platinum would be somebody else's greatest dream in their lifetime. So economics doesn't give us a great quality of life, because lots of people have great economics and they go crazy, or they commit suicide, or, you know, they're frustrated. They've got $1 billion, but they're filled with worry and frustration. It's like I was thinking about, is the quality of life greater today for people here in China than it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago? And I think most people would probably say yes. Is the greater quality of life for most human beings greater? Most people would say yes, but I don't know if it's really true. Because I remember 20 years ago, people all talking about in the future, we're going to have a greater quality of life. We're going to have lots more free time. How's that been working for you recently? I'm just curious. Because what happens now is the world travels with us, doesn't it? Right? You used to go home and you actually were off work, but now it travels on your belt or in your pocket. It's an email, it's in a voicemail. I mean, it's buzzing, it's humming, it's beeping, it's all around us. There's always another request, the demand available to us. Now, you can choose to shut that off, but it's all there. And as the quality of life, for example, of the emperor we heard about today with his 3,000 concubines and his wife picked by his mother, right. What was the quality of his life? And was it really incredible? If he lived in fear every day that someone was going to kill him, I don't know if his quality of his life was that much greater than a peasant in the field who was farming and loved what he was doing and loved his family. So I don't know that time makes the quality of life better, and I don't know if technology does either. I've lived in Fiji now for, you know, average of 2 months out of the year for the last 10 years. And I've watched gigantic changes happen there. And I don't know if they're all for the better. Technology has brought more choices, but it hasn't always brought an inner environment that is more rewarding, more rich, more meaningful. So I've always been fascinated in what makes the difference here, because there is also the external environment. And the external environment, even though I believe the internal environment is most important, The external environment certainly affects us. I live in San Diego, California, one of my homes anyway, in La Jolla. I wasn't there the last week. I was at a different place, fortunately. But, you know, the RRI's offices, there was fire 2 blocks from our building. And I was talking to executives on the phone, figuring out what to do to make sure all of our stuff was backed up, that we got things out of there. My entire video library of everything I've ever recorded since I was 17 years old is all there. And fortunately, the winds changed and our office building was spared, but a lot of other buildings weren't, obviously. So while we can have a great inner environment, this allows us to maximize no matter what happens. The external environment affects us also. And we can have an influence on the external environment. Ultimately, the quality of your life comes down to one thing, meaning. What's the meaning you attach to anything? Does the meaning cause you to feel fear? Does the meaning cause you to feel frustration? Does the meaning give you a sense that life is good, that life is great, that your life matters? Meaning ultimately shapes it all. So for most of my life, I've been looking for those tipping points, and this week we're going to add some to your inner environment. And the tipping point that most of you have been around me for any number of years know is physiology. It's the first one I always look at. Physiology changes immediately the way we come up with emotion, the feelings of our lives. And so I've talked about that for years, and heart math focuses on changing the physiology and the breath. And the second thing I always talk about, it, besides changing physiology, is changing what? Focus, and then, of course, the language that you attach to experience, because it becomes that. But tonight I thought we'd shift a little bit to this other side, which is influenced by this, and that's the external environment. What can we do to radically impact our external environment? Because most of us in this group own businesses or have a mission drive, and most of you, I was reading your DISC models again, and it was fascinating to see how many high Ds we have in this group. You know, if you remember the DISC model, D is dominance, and we got some people in here, quite a few people here, that have 90 or 100 in their dominance mode. And then looking at the people that are high I and their influencing mode of doing things, and then the few S's that actually exist in this room, those stable, consistent people. There are no completely rule-driven people in this group, as you might imagine, because you couldn't get here by being one of those people, right? So there's very few of those people in the group. But I was looking at that, and I was also looking at the values, because when I first formed this group, I formed it really primarily because I wanted to involve a group of people that would be socially driven and having an impact wherever they go. And early in the process of Platinum Partnership, we decided we had a racing school we went to, and we all learned how to race, and it was a really cool couple of days. And in an evening, I was designing this program to show us all how we could maximize a mentoring program we're doing. And it was fascinating because not everybody here is driven by the same value systems. And I made this giant assumption that, of course, you know, people will be so socially driven. Of course, everybody subscribes to that. But I had several people get up and say, why should I attach my name to this? No one was asking them to. Or why should I invest any of my energy or time in this social particular experience? Because it was a very, very big focus of Platinum in the very beginning. And so now my focus is to give you whatever it is you want. And I've adjusted the content so it has a combination of those things. And one of the days here, you have an opportunity to participate where we'll go and help out in an orphanage, very much like we did in Africa and a few other places. But if you're interested in a social cause, or you're interested in taking your business to a level you never dreamed of, tonight will be valuable. If you're interested in both, for those of you who are quite integrated in that area, it'll be valuable as well.